I sincerely welcome you to our little eco-village called Govardhana. It is as our Padmashama Devi, also known as Sharon, and our jewels were telling, the greatest blessing we could receive in our life is the opportunity for seva, or service. The word seva is a very deep, intimate, high Sanskrit term. Seva doesn't just mean to serve. It means to serve with love, with compassion. Seva means without ego, or selfishness, or greed, or envy, but to serve for the pleasure of God, who we call Krishna, and for the genuine well-being of others. That is seva. To really care for the body, mind, and the soul, the atma, of others. It is through seva that we make that deepest connection of love with Krishna, with our divine source. In the Gita, Krishna tells, Bhaktya Twananyaya Shakya Aham Evam Vidurjana. Through bhakti, through serving with love, I can be known, and you could see me standing before you. Because the Absolute Truth is infinite, achintya, inconceivable, beyond the power of the mind to ever fathom, beyond the capacity of the senses to truly perceive. Yega tamam prapadyante tam stataiva bhajamya. But the path of grace teaches us, if we render seva with a sincere and genuine heart, then the All-Beautiful One reveals himself to us. Daiviheshu gunamayi mama maya duratyaya. That the impediments of the senses, the distractions of this world, both within and without us, are quite insurmountable. Perhaps you have had that experience. But daiviheshu gunamayi, if we take shelter of that grace, Ishvara pranidhanat of Ishvara, by that grace we can be lifted beyond all the impediments of the dualities of this material world. And param drishpani vartate, and we experience something so high, so deep. Anandam buddhivardhanam pratipadam punam ratasvadanam. What the heart is always yearning for. That connection of prema, or divine love. Padmadevi was explaining how the supreme controller of all controllers loves to be controlled by the love of each and any one of us. We all have that capacity. Earlier this year, I was in an Islamic nation. And I don't know why they invited me, but they did. It was the YPO, the Young President's Organization. And they took me into a desert to give a lecture to them. We're driving through a desert, just sand, very hot place. And what is the most incredibly elegant thing you could possibly see in a desert? That's what they took me to. It was a golf course with green grass, 18 holes. They wanted to give me the most elegant reception. So they brought me to a golf course. And in the clubhouse, they put little cushions on the floor and asked me to speak to them. There was about 50 or 60. They were all Muslim people. And they were so gracious and so kind and so cultured. But one lady, she said to me, "You talk about love for God, but when you fear God so much, how could you love him? It's easy to fear God, but how to love when there's so much fear?" So I explained that one supreme God for everyone, you may call him Allah, but in our tradition, he appears like a little baby. And he's afraid of his devotee. That's Ras. That's Prem Ras. The loving reciprocation of love. In the Bhagavad Purana, which Shyamdas Ji was his favorite most book, in the 10th skanda, there's a wonderful story. The Supreme Absolute Truth appeared in this world, his original transcendental form of Krishna. He was a little baby. And one day, his mother, Yashoda. You don't become a mother for Krishna unless you really have deep motherly love. She went to feed Krishna with her own milk. And Krishna was in her lap, just a little infant. He was so beautiful. And she opened his mouth. And she happened to look in his mouth. She saw within his mouth, it was only this big. Can everyone see? It was only a diameter of about 3 inches at most, because a baby's mouth is that big. She saw within his mouth the universe. She saw all the Himalayan mountains, the Appalachian Mountains, the Rocky Mountains, the Swiss Alps. She saw all the oceans, the Atlantic, the Pacific, the Arabian Sea, the Indian Ocean, the Arctic Ocean. She saw the sun and the moon and the earth. She saw all living beings, all the devas, all the humans, all the different 8,400,000 species of life. And it wasn't like what the technologists like to do today, to reduce everything to a very, very microscopic size. Everything was full-fledged. The real sun, the real moon, the real earth, everyone. And she was seeing it in a mouth this big. And it's not in order for her to see this that Krishna had to have a big mouth. His mouth remained the same, but inside she could see the universe. It wasn't an hallucination. It was for real. My guru, Srila Prabhupada, he gave a little commentary. If we say God is great, if he can't do that, then what's so great about him? The first understanding of Bhagavan is achintya shakti, inconceivable potencies. So Yashoda saw this, and she became so reverential toward her little son. She put her hands together and started to offer prayers. But Krishna didn't like that, because with all that reverence toward the majesty of God, she wouldn't feed him her milk. She wouldn't embrace him and kiss him. So Krishna closed his mouth and smiled. And when she saw that smile, it was so infinitely sweet, infinitely greater, that sweetness, than his majesty. What she just saw, it's not that she forgot it. It just didn't matter. Maybe he's sick and he has the universe in his mouth. But he needs my love. And he said, Mommy, I'm hungry. And she embraced him and kissed him. If I don't feed you, you'll get sick. In this way, to facilitate intimate, sweet love. Ishvara, the supreme controller of all controllers, performs these leelas, or transcendental spiritual pastimes. Our little eco-village here is based on a simple principle that Krishna's Shakti is Radha. Radha is the supreme source and personification of Prem, or all love. And she manifests within this world in many ways. She's the Supreme Mother. The Earth planet is called Bhumi. Bhumi is an expansion of Radha, or Sita, or Lakshmi, Durga, the presiding deity of the Earth. She's our mother. She's providing everything. We're all her little babies. Whether we're world champion, Olympic champion boxers or basketball players, or whether we're kings, presidents, we're babies completely dependent on our Mother Earth for the air we breathe, the sunshine, the water, the food, everything. Our bodies are made out of her. Just like our bodies were made from our mother. And in this sense, every living being is a child of God. And every little being is a child of Mother Earth. The crickets we hear singing. The cows that so graciously welcomed you to our little eco-village. The goats we have a sheep. And you know what the sheep's name is? Because the sheep goes ba, ba, right? That's what sheep's go. They go ba, ba. So we named Babaji. And donkeys and all sorts of people. We have here people from all over the world, different races, different sexes, different ethnic backgrounds, sociological, economic backgrounds. Everyone is a child of God, Mother Earth, Mother Radha. An inseparable aspect of seva to the Supreme is seva to our mother. In this sense, environmentalism, an eco-friendly lifestyle, is not just leaving the world a better place for the next generation. It's an inseparable aspect of our yoga, our devotion. She's giving everything. How are we reciprocating? And she's so loving that if we don't reciprocate properly, she becomes ill. Our Mother Earth is ill. Reciprocation. Whatever little or big influences we may have, we can show our love. So this is the principle of this village. An expression of our own gratitude and devotion. And hopefully a model in which people from the area, from all over India, from all over the world, could see alternative ways built on the foundation of gratitude and devotion. A life that can bring happiness. Happiness to the heart, the mind, and the soul. A happiness beyond birth, beyond death. Thank you very much.